this section of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount shifts gears just a little bit. We have, in the past several days, been reading chapter 5 of Matthew, where Jesus compares the old with the new. You have heard it said this, but I say to you this. So Jesus, the new Moses, giving the new law. But here in chapter 6, as I say, there's a slight shift. He's still teaching us, but he's no longer comparing with the old law. Here he's comparing with the practice of the hypocrites. So, and the comparisons he makes are three: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Or in the order of the sermon, almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. Now, people who are following the liturgical life, I think, recognize this reading as the gospel from Ash Wednesday, because this is read every Ash Wednesday. And so we get the instruction that for Lent, the practices we have to focus on are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, which is certainly true. Lent is a time of more prayer and more fasting and more almsgiving. But this gospel is being presented to us here. This is Wednesday of the 11th week in ordinary time, which means prayer, fasting, and almsgiving are not just special activities for a special season. This is ordinary Christianity. This is the ordinary building blocks of the Christian life: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Prayer is about our relationship with God. Our first love, the first commandment, love God. Almsgiving is about our relationship with others. The second commandment is love your neighbor. And that's what almsgiving is an expression of. And then fasting is rightly ordered love of self. We're not supposed to fast because we hate ourselves or because we're punishing ourselves. We're disciplining ourselves and freeing ourselves from the exaggerated demands of our nature so that we can love God and love our neighbor. So you see how these three fit together: love of God, love of neighbor, and love of self. Prayer, almsgiving, fasting. Sometimes people have connected these three building blocks of the Christian life with the three offices or the three tasks of the baptized. We are, when we're baptized, we are made priests, prophets, and kings. So according to that reflection, and I might have done this myself, priests are set aside for God. The priestly office corresponds with the call to prayer. Prophets are sent to others to be spokesmen of God for others. So you can correspond that with almsgiving, because the prophets are at the service of others. And then kings represent authority, represent order, discipline, and that roughly corresponds to fasting or self-denial. Now, the problem with it, I'm not so satisfied with that reflection, because it implies that priests don't have to fast or give alms. They just pray, and kings, all kings do is fast. They don't pray or give alms, and that's a little bit of a distortion. In any case, I think that idea came from the threeness of the three disciplines and then the threefold offices of the baptized. When we look at this gospel, what we see here is not only the teaching about the three disciplines, but also this idea of keeping them secret. Secrecy. Now, it's not absolute. It's not as if we have to make sure that no one ever knows what we're doing. What Jesus is cautioning us against is the motive of making known what we're doing for the sake of gaining human approval. He said that's the style of the hypocrites, and that's what we should not do. So hypocrites blow a trumpet when they are giving alms. In modern times, it's a banner, courtesy of so-and-so. Well, that's the trumpet. And he says there's no need to gain the approval of fellow human beings, because God, who sees what we're doing and sees our real motive, is the one who repays us. So don't do things, don't do righteous deeds in order that people may see them. I think we can understand the principle that what we do in our prayer, fasting, and almsgiving is to be motivated by our love for God, our love for others, and our correct love of self. It's not motivated by impressing others about how much we love God, how much we love others, and how disciplined we are. You see the difference. The actions look the same, but the intention is completely different. And if our intention is to impress people, well, that cuts the very heart out of the goodness of the acts. And that's why Jesus says, well, you already receive your reward. If you're going to act like a hypocrite, you get a hypocrite's reward. Hypocrite's reward is approval, and even that, not very much. But a genuine person of love and of faith has the reward of the love of God. And Jesus says this again and again. Your Father who sees in secret will repay you. So it's not as if you don't get anything out of doing this, but you don't do it in order to get. If we take this gospel just by itself out of the context of the larger picture of the Christian life, it might seem to us like an awfully burdensome thing. Now we have to do this, now we have to do that, now we have to do this, and now we can't let anybody know, and we can't let our right hand know what our left hand is doing, and on and on, as if this is just one more list of requirements. And that's not right. I think what today's first reading helps us recognize is that these disciplines that we learn in the gospel are built upon God's goodness to us. Our response to his goodness is our prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. We're not doing it in order to get a repayment from God. God has already paid us. God has already bestowed an overflowing abundance of grace on us. So if we understand that, then we realize, oh, our prayer and fasting and almsgiving is spontaneous gratitude. It's free generosity. That's what Paul is talking about here in this section of his letter to the Corinthians. Sure, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. The thing is, we have already reaped bountifully the grace of God. He's been so merciful and good to us. So then we can very freely give. His description of it is beautiful. Each must do as he has already determined. And make, you know, decide for yourself how much you're going to pray, how much you're going to give, how much you're going to fast. Decide for yourself, freely determine, without sadness or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Nobody's making you be a Christian. Nobody's making you give alms. Nobody's making you pray. You do it because you want to. Now, there are guidelines. There are protocols to follow, yes. But that's to help us do what we should want to do anyway. It's and also to safeguard against our nature, which tends to be weak and selfish, and we need things to prop us up, like commandments, to tell us what we should do. Well, yeah, we should do it anyway. God loves a cheerful giver. God, who is generous, makes it possible for us to be generous. God, who is himself a cheerful giver, makes it possible for us to be cheerful givers. And that's the right way to see prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. It's an opportunity. It's a grateful response to a good God. It will, to our nature, will always feel a little bit like a stretch of sometimes a great sacrifice, a great burden. But deep down, we should know it's not as if we're making any great effort or great sacrifice that outweighs what God has done for us. There's no comparison. No comparison. We don't have to think, or we shouldn't think, that we're making heroic efforts to impress God, when in fact we are the recipients of heroic love. We see this in the lives of the saints. Today's saint is a great example, Saint Aloysius Gonzaga, young man, full of zeal, full of love, detached from the things of this world, didn't care about the money. He was from a rich family. His family really wanted to keep him in the line. And he just said that, no, that's just not important to me. I feel called, and I am spontaneously, generously giving myself to God. And his family eventually saw that that was the right thing to do. And he gave himself freely, cheerfully, generously. And then he caught the sickness of those who he was helping, and he died of it, age 23. He was not sad about making that sacrifice. He wasn't, burdened by the injustice of being sick at a young age. He was a cheerful giver. All the saints are. So let us take this lesson to our own lives. Yes, we are today dedicating ourselves to prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, because that's just normal Christian life. But we do so with a generous spirit, with a cheerfulness that comes from knowing we have received much more than we will ever give.